Give yourself some love with our self-care programs at hrnradio.com.
Hey there, welcome to the Linda McKenzie Show, and this week let's remember to live and appreciate each moment. Boy, do we need to do that. Now, our guest today is Kim Weiss, and she's a an author of Sunrise, Sunset, and I'll be giving you lots of fun and useful information, as well as doing some God-based psychic readings later on in the show. But right now, let's get right to our guest, and today, again, we have with us Kim Weiss. She's author of Sunrise, Sunset, and she is a book publicist, a coach for writers, a photographer, and, of course, an author. Welcome, Kim.
That's so nice to be here, Linda.
I know. We've known each other for a long time. I booked many, many, many people through Kim because she works with HCI Books. But is this the first time you've become an author?
Well, I've contributed stories to other people's books, but to have my own name on the cover, yes, this is my very first.
Well, congratulations on that. It's really nice.
Thank you.
Now, what I like about
I'm having a little trouble hearing you, by the way.
Okay, let me speak a little louder. Is that better?
Yeah, I think that we have some interference, but I can
hear you out. Yeah, that's a lot of times it's the telephone company doing that. All right, anyway, what I wanted to say is that we have a... in the book is these wonderful, beautiful photographs. And Sunrise, Sunset is 52 weeks of awe and gratitude. So you took the photographs in this book. So when did you become interested in photography, and how did you become a book publicist?
Well, those are two different times. The book publicist happened over 20 years ago. And I was a generalist publicist before then. I had my own company, and I got into books. So I've been doing this for a very, very long time. But the photography kind of happened organically as the book did, because it just so happened that the place I lived is so beautiful that I couldn't not capture it with, at first, my iPhone, and then better and better cameras. So it was really something that just came out of my heart. It was surprising to me that it... evolved the way it did, but it just started out as just an appreciation of what I was looking at and trying to capture it and hold on to it for a little bit.
Well, it was, you've done some really wonderful pictures in here. And the book is really a fun book because you can give it to anyone as a Christmas present. We might as well plug on that because it's it has lots and lots of little pictures and different kinds of... awe-inspiring thoughts, so that, you know, anybody, you can give this book to anyone. It's not just, you know, for a certain age group. You can just give it to anyone because it's very pertinent, all the sayings and everything in there. Why are awe and gratitude important in life?
Well, I think that they're very connected. At least they are for me. My book, I always say, you know, I make a little joke and say, you need to stop and smell the sunrise. And what happens when I take a picture, it's a result of my feeling a sense of awe. So I'm awestruck, literally, and I don't think we use that. You know, people say awesome all the time, awesome, but if you stop and really think what that means, I mean, awe is really powerful. And once you have, or I have, that feeling of awe, then when it settles in, then it really just graduates to gratitude, because that's when you kind of have already absorbed the awe and you're just so appreciative. I'm so appreciative of what I get to see. So they're very connected to me, and awe is all around me all the time, and it's I find it in nature. I mean, that is the most accessible to everyone and my favorite place to be awestruck.
I do too. And you know, when you, a lot of times I live near the beach, so what happens is that I will go down to the beach, and when I'm the only person on the beach and I look outside and see the endlessness ocean, you know, it just reminds me that, you know, it reminds me of several things. One is that I am so like a grain of sand in this universe, but I'm also connected as a grain of sand in being one with the air and the ocean and the waves. So... and even a mountain vista does that. But, you know, when I lived in New York City, it was very interesting to note that we all really want to have that awe and that gratitude. And even though you're in a concrete and steel jungle, it was always interesting to me that even walking through the city, how many people would stop and look at a flower that was popping up through the cracks, which, of course, when I was growing up was a lot because they never did take care of the roads. Anyway, so, but basically, you know, or I can remember, it doesn't matter where you are, you can get that awe. I remember when I was going up to Sterling to publish one of my books, and it was, they had just wanted to visit with me and see if they wanted it. And I was walking in the city, and I looked up, and there was a hawk that was circling around me in the middle of the city. And everybody was looking up saying, wow. And I said, oh, I said, I guess I'm going to get this book deal. And I did.
That's right. It's a good omen.
It was a good omen for me. So awe can be anywhere. And when you have awe, it is, it does make you think about being grateful. You know, because you, it just does. I mean, who you are, what you're doing, where you're at, even if it's just grateful for breathing and the air that's on your cheek, you know, it's just wonderful. And, you know, the nice thing about your book is that it captures that. Almost every picture, you can get lost in it. It's almost like you're there. And
oh, that's so wonderful here.
It's really beautiful, you know. And, of course, I love sunrises and sunsets. Who doesn't? And that also marks the beginning of life. And the end of life, you know, and there's joys from beginning to end and everywhere in between if we just grab them.
That's true. Well, it really is my goal to have people feel what I'm feeling when I take the photograph. And so when you say what you're saying, it sounds like I've achieved that. And that's really what the goal is, and to help you absorb that feeling that I have, these nice little passages that accompany the pictures kind of helps it along. How it's designed.
Right. Now, what is sunset, sunrise sunset about? Aside from the awe and the gratitude, it's, you know, you've got stories in here and they're by great people.
Well, I just, you know, it, to me, it's like this great confluence of my career in publishing and my hobby and my passion. This is, somebody called this a passion project. That would be like my, that's sort of my favorite description of the book. And it's all these people that I have met along the way that I've either worked with. I work with many of the people in the book, and a lot of them are just people I approached that I admired. I asked them to write me their impressions of how the sunrise or sunset affects them or feels to them. And I got this resounding response from wonderful people like Jack Canfield and Ariel Ford, Don Miguel Ruiz Jr., Candace Bushnell of all people, Gloria Loring, John Bradshaw, MJ Rose, on and on. That wrote these combination, some of them are little motivational passages, some of them are little poems, some of them are just, you know, contemplations. And you can open the book to almost any page and just sit with it. That's why I put 52 Weeks of Awe and Gratitude as a subtitle, because when somebody says to me, Kim, your book is lovely, I read your book, I said, how? No. I don't want you to read my book. I want you to be with my book. I want you to take time with each page and find the ones that speak to you. And when you say that it really is for any age and anybody, it really is because of the universality of the pictures, but there's going to be something in there that you identify with, probably one passage more than another. But I say there's nothing not to like here. It's just sweet. The whole project is sweet from soup to nuts, from how everybody worked with me to the finished product. I'm very, very happy with it.
Now, as a book publicist, you kind of knew. Did it have an effect on how you were writing? I mean, because you already knew what made a good book, right? And how to get it out there.
There was some strategy involved in putting this book together, yes. So that would be like the broad brush answer to it. Obviously, everybody in this book has a pretty big world, so I figured we would reach a lot of different worlds and the biggest world possible by having these people here. So that was part of the publicist's thinking. But it really is as much appreciation for them as friends and colleagues as it is that. But if the publicity part comes about doing this, being on the radio with you, and you know, once I had the people that were in the book come to me from my experience with them. Now the publicists, the media that I've dealt with all these years publicizing other people, I kind of tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, how about my book? And everybody's been so gracious. And it's been so much fun. I mean, you can imagine. I mean, you know what it's like for you and I to be talking after all this time.
Right. It's just really great. And, you know, the one thing that I want to say, you know, is that, you know, we are all in, you know, especially this network is all positive. And people kind of think, well, if, you know, somebody might have thought, well, you know, oh, she's using her book and her contacts, you know, to get these done. And you know what? Here's the deal, folks. Okay. You have to be, when you're writing a book, it has to be a business because of one reason and one reason only. If you don't make it a business to get it out to as many people as you possibly can, why bother to write the book? Okay? You could write the book and put it in your house and sit there and read it. So when you are writing a book, you must be putting the practical in there so that it can get to as many people as you possibly can, so that you can get your message out. And don't you find, Kim, that so many of these writers, not so much that are published with book publishers, because they always pick the best of the best. You know, this whole ebook stuff where everybody's an author, it makes me crack up. I'm sorry.
Well,
you know, they have
the
good...
a lot of people that approach me all the time that, you know, as far as I can tell, every single person in the world has a book.
Except they really don't. You know, what they have is, you know, a good book is one that lasts through time, is one that, and I'm not saying that all books are like that, because there are some good e-books, but if you're not in the industry, the quality of type that you use, you know, if you use the wrong type, it gets your eyes tired so you can't read the book. And these people don't know this unless they're researching it. It's down to, again, you know, how to get it out. I have a lady that is an author here on our network, right? And she's got about 3 or 4 books out. Well, one of the books that she got out originally was with a textbook company, okay? And she did quite well on it. She made about, I don't know, $8,000 or $10,000 or whatever, which is very good, by the way. Everybody thinks you, when you write a book, you're going to make a lot of money. You're lucky to get more than the advance. You know, so, and in the publishing industry, you know, if you sold more than 2,000 books, you're a hit, right? So, but most people don't know this stuff. But if you're going to write a book, you need to know the industry. And, you know, because you can't fight an industry. You have to know the industry and do it better. So, and it's just that, that's why with your wonderful book, you know, there's a feel, there's a taste, there's a touch to it that no matter what it is, it's a professional book and it looks professional and it is professional and it is done so that it reaches the most people to get the message out. And that's what really good editors do. That's what really good publishing companies do. And that's what your book does.
Well, thank you. That's very, very sweet to hear.
Yeah. So, and you know, I really like what you said, where you could just turn it to any page because you don't have to read this in, you know, order. You know, I'm not like that. And you can pick up anything and you can really think about what everything is said in here. It's not a lot, you know, they're short paragraphs with beautiful pictures so that you can contemplate life with this book. And when you do, it brings you to a higher level and to insight about yourself and the world around you. How'd you like that one?
You know what's come of this, which is so nice, is that I've actually started a community growing on Facebook of people, I call them backyard photographers, like I consider myself. And they're posting their own pictures, and they're spanning as far as Guam and Nova Scotia and all over the country and contributing to my page. And it's, you know, there's almost 8,000 people, and that's only been for a few months. So the book has an outgrowth of people that keep this, because I still, every single morning and every single night that I can, I photograph the sun. So this is not just a passing fancy. This is truly my passion project. And, you know, Facebook is testament to that because I still post, which is how this book started. There were just photographs that I took that are put on Facebook. So this is really like a continually evolving project, and it's inclusive of everybody now, and that means anybody who likes to snap a picture of something beautiful.
Well, I love that. And let me say this. There's a lot of, you know, photography. Sometimes that's innate, you know, and when you're capturing something, that's innate. Writing a book takes practice and time and knowledge. A little bit about the how-tos. Not that you don't have to do that with a photograph. You know, the more you know your craft, the better you can get. However, sometimes that's just pure soul. And that's what your pictures in this book are, is pure soul. And so you can capture that without having to know where to dot your I's or put your periods, you know?
Right. Would you like to hear one of the passages?
I would.
Okay, I'm just going to open one randomly. A lovely fellow named Jacob Nordby wrote this one. And it's on page 5. And he wrote, and this is next to a very golden kind of photograph, and putting the pictures and the words together, matching them, that was a real fun part of the project, too. He writes, "If I hold my hands up like this, I can cup the sun in them just before it falls down behind the earth's edge. Now I have a goblet of golden fire. What shall I do with it? A moment, a lifetime, it's all the same. The unbearable short sweetness of life makes me want to be a miserly, reckless, but spender of joy, like the sun does with its light, an obsessive profligate, never wasting a second's chance to love and live with abandon."
Yeah.
I just love how that feels.
Well, yeah. I mean, who doesn't want to live with abandon? Let's do it. Let's do it right now.
Right, right. And you want to hear someone that's a little bit more earthy?
Okay.
Okay, this is from Dr. Sean Keniff, and you might remember him. He was the first runner-up of the very first Survivor show, and he's written a great book called Etra the Cow for the company I work for. He writes, "Sunrises really speak to me. They say, hey, buddy, look at this day I'm giving you. Don't screw it up. Work hard. Play nice. Trust your heart. Be brave, but don't be stupid. Share your mercy and your smile. Then rest and eat with those you love, and I'll bring you more sunshine in the morning."
Oh, that's great. Now, where do you, where can people find out more about you and your book?
Well, you can find this book anywhere books are sold, including Amazon, Barnes & Noble, even Walmart. Or you can go to my website, which is www.sunrisesunsetbook.com. And you can learn a lot about the book and see more photographs. And also, there's clicks for, you know, there's links for where to buy the book. And you can find me actively posting and growing a community on Facebook on the fan page, which is called Kim Weiss Sunrise Sunset 52 Weeks of Awe and Gratitude.
Great. That's really, really
great.
And you
never know. You post a photograph, it might make my next book.
Ha-ha. There you go. Right.
You never know.
Well, and who doesn't? Are all the photographs, are they all on sunrises and sunsets?
In this book, they are, and the majority of them, like 95% of them, are taken from my terrace. So I just fall out of bed in the morning and just, like, swoon.
And you click. You click, click.
And I swoon, and then I click, and then I stand there, and I absorb, and then I feel grateful. So it's like this morning ritual that is, I mean, it's who wouldn't love to have that, right?
Exactly, because what happens is that you're taking a time to absorb the energy all around you. And be there, you know. They say that the angels also stand point at sunrise and sunset of every day. So you're joining the angels, Kim.
I love that.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kim Weiss, for being on the show. Everyone, Sunrise, Sunset, 52 Weeks of Awe and Gratitude, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, any bookstore. Get it. It's a great Christmas gift. And Kim deserves that, and you'll love these pictures. Thanks so much, Kim.
Thank you. It was wonderful.
All right, then. Bye-bye.
Take care, Linda. Bye-bye.
We got to take a break. We'll be back.
Environmentally sound for your mind. HRNradio.com.
Hey there, welcome back. You're listening to the Linda McKenzie Show, and pretty soon we're going to be opening up for readings, so get ready to call in 800-555-5453, 310-371-5444. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've been doing some, finding some hidden negativity so that we can release it. So I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to think, okay, is it sometimes, or is it never, or is it all the time, okay? So I'm going to ask you a question. Are you ready? I can remember my grandson at 2 years old when he'd be playing with me. He'd say, "Are you ready?" It's great on a two-year-old. I love it. Maybe it's good with me, too. Let me know. All right. Anyway, here we go. We're going to do, this is question number 5. I use words like can't, won't, couldn't, wouldn't a lot. Do you? Sometimes. How about, I use negative words often. Can't, no, I won't, no, can't, wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't. Do you? All right. Well, that, my friends, means that you have a negativity. And what's happening is negative words produce negative energy and thought. So it stops you from actualizing your goals because negative words have power. And it has the power to keep you in the negative and not the positive. So you want to make sure that instead of saying no, wouldn't, shouldn't, couldn't, can't, you want to say yes, can, would, could, should. Okay? We have to revamp. Now we're going to find that because of where we grew up or society or parents saying you can't, no, 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 you know, you're going to have that embedded in your psyche, and you don't want to do that. So what you have to be is very mindful on what words are coming out of your mouth, okay? And it'd be interesting, you know, to, you know, even stop and write down what words are coming out of your mouth so that you can see what situations are happening where the negativity is coming. You'll find that if you say no, won't, wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't, can't, that you will actually be stopping, putting a big block in front of you. Okay, and that's, so, you know, one of the things that you want to do is it will shape your thoughts, it will shape your energy. So what you want to do is use positive words as much as you can. Okay, because you don't want to be in the negative. You want to be in the positive. You know why? You feel better. Honest, you really do. Okay, here is another question. Okay, kind of goes with the first one. All right, here it is. I often think I can't do something. I have negative thoughts. Is it sometimes, never, or all the time? Okay, if it's never, God bless you. I don't know anybody that is, it's a never. Okay, because we all have that balancing of thought. However, what happens is that negative thought perpetuates negativity. So the more you think negative, the more you're going to be negative. It programs your brain into negativity instead of being positive. And so what happens is that when you keep having negative thoughts, I can't do this, I'm not going to be able to do this, oh, there's always a reason to stop me, I'm not good enough. I have this client, I got to tell you, she's the funniest thing in the whole wide world. You know, about a year ago, she was saying that she didn't have anybody. You know, I'm such a loser, I have no one. And I'm sitting there going, I don't know, I think there's a lot of people around you. I think you're not choosing someone. But no, she didn't have anyone. Now she's got two people, right? And she's going, I'm a loser because, you know, I'm not making a decision. Oh, excuse me. Hello? You know, words and thoughts have power. If you think you're a loser, guess what? You're a loser. Okay? And here's the deal. It's very interesting that out there these days, people are very well aware of this. You know, consciously, we have really opened up the world. You know, everybody that's listening to this program is a conscious individual. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Right? So, I mean, you know, it's not me. It's not all that. You know, it's what I'm saying or what this network represents. So we've opened up the consciousness to people more than ever now. So what's happening is that when you're going out and you're saying, I can't, I won't, I couldn't, I shouldn't, or you're thinking negative, people pick up that aura and they want to be away from you because they want positive thought. They want positive words because they understand the difference in energy. So not only when you're thinking negative is it affecting you, but it's probably affecting your friendships and who gets drawn to you. Okay, so try and stay positive, because when you think positive and you change your thoughts to positive, it creates not only positive thought, but positive deed and action. Okay, if you think negative, you're going to do a negative deed or take a negative action. But if you think positive, you're going to be in the positive. Okay, and so it also helps to stagnate life. Okay, because you never get anything new. If you're thinking the same negative thoughts over and over and over again, it just keeps you stagnant. You don't move. It's like a puddle of water that's going nowhere with no sun to dry it up. Okay? You don't want to do that. You want to keep moving, grooving. Life is great. You know, be like that angel, like Kim Weiss, getting out and looking in the morning at the sunset. And even if you can't see the sun, go outside or look outside. Find a tree or a bud or the air or the sky or a cloud. Okay? We want to keep moving. We want to keep positive. And again, negative thought also stops the actualization of goals. All right. Now I'm going to ask you another question. Oh, no, not another one. Yeah, there's lots of them. But this one also goes with negative words, negative thoughts. Okay? You ready? Okay, this one is, I often feel angry, mad, guilty, jealous, envious, or sad. Or, I often have negative feelings, because that's what they are, right? If you have negative feelings such as guilt, anger, jealousy, envy, depression, sadness, guess what? It stops positive vibrations. It just stops them. It also has the power to keep you negative instead of positive. So here's how to overcome negative words, thoughts, and feelings. Because remember, negative words produce negative thoughts that produce negative feelings. They all work hand in hand. And also, negative feelings produce negative thoughts, produce negative words. So we got to make sure that we're taking these three jamokes, which in Italian is silly people, these three jamokes, you know, and we got to make sure that we're going to change them, right? So we want to think, act, and feel positive. So how do you do that? How do you let go of negative words? How do you let go of negative thoughts that are hounding you over and over and over again? Sometimes you can't take a call from your mother. No, I'm just kidding. But, okay, so how do you do that? What you have to do is you have to first let go of expectations. You said, what? Okay, you get let go of expectations. What you want to do is sit down and write down all your goals. Oh, I want $1 million. Oh, I want it. But don't even put a quantity on it because it stops. God may want to give you more than $1 million. I want abundance. I want this. I want that. And then you take and you plan it out. How are you going to get it? Because guess what? If you think that you're going to plan something and it's just going to happen, you know, just because you want it, you know, it takes a little thought, okay? Because there's a law of these steps along the way. So plan it out exactly what you want and everything and whatever. And then throw it away. That's right. Just throw it away. And you know what? You will find that you will naturally gravitate and do the things that you're supposed to do. And you have to feel, know, and trust that you're going to get what you want. Easier said than done, and give up expectation. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more on how to overcome negative words, thoughts, and feelings. Stay with us.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
There you have it. Welcome back. Guess what? It's time to do some psychic readings for you. That's right. I believe everyone and everything has value, and nothing gives me greater joy than helping people. My primary goal really is that I want to help you feel good in body, mind, and spirit. And I want you to know that I am here to help you do that. Everything I am is about positive thought. It's positive energy in action. I want you to be positive. And sometimes with the readings that I do, I try and find the most positive areas and ways for you to navigate life. Because it makes me happy when you are happy and healthy. And one means we are improving not only ourselves, but the whole earth. Isn't that the great thing? Okay, so jot these numbers down. Call me at 800-555-5453 or 310-371-5444. And we'll take a look at some of your questions and see if we can take that negative and make it into a positive. Huh? All right. Anyway, before the break, we were talking a little bit about how to overcome negative words, thoughts, and feelings. And we got through letting go of expectations. Another thing that you have to let go of is significance. Oh my goodness, if that guy doesn't call me, I'm never going to have anybody. Let go of the significance of anything. No one is all that. Okay? Oh, I can't. The telephone is wrong. I'll never be able to book celebrities. Something like that. Excuse me. Stop. No celebrity is any different than you. They have a little bit more money, and they have a whole lot more problems, okay? Because I've been on every strata of society. I've been to, grew up with two dresses a year, you know, not enough food, down to middle class, to upper middle class, to even, you know, I've got invited to do that Orient Express train and go to the America's Cup, you know, in private yachts and all sorts of stuff. So jet set I did. And then I did Nouveau Riche and I did Old Money. I mean, you think about it, you know, and I've probably been there. And the one thing that I find is that no one is more better. Is that a word? More better? More better than anyone else. We all have a purpose here. Every single one of us, even if you think we don't. Okay? So we are all important. The President of the United States is just as important as the street sweeper. Our souls are the same. You take the outer stuff out, and if you go inside, it's all the same. Okay? It's all the same. So no one should have more significance than anyone else. And it's funny. I mean, when I was in sales, people would say, oh, well, how are you going to get in there? I said, I'm going to call the president of the company. They'd say, what? You can't do that. Why not? Why not? Because the one thing I did find is that, you know, I'll tell you a story. It's really funny. This is, you know, I always learned, even everything you do, you learn something. Now, when I was, when I got divorced, I was, I think, 21, 20, no, let's see, I had Lisa when I was 21. So I was 23 or 24, right? So I got divorced. And I, ended up going out with a girlfriend of mine and we went to New Jersey, all right? And in New Jersey, we were going to this club, you know, we're going to go dancing. Now, Janie was gorgeous. I mean, she was this Italian beauty of, you know, long, lustrous, black, blue, you know, brown, black hair and gorgeous eyes. And I wasn't too bad either, blonde, blue eyes. And we were young. I mean, you know, we were hot, you know. And we go into this club and nobody is asking us to dance. And I look at Jane and I go, what the heck? And she's looking at me and she says, well, this isn't any different from any place else. And then this guy came up, you know, and he was not very good looking. And he said, would you like to dance? And I said, I'd love to, because what we were there for, to dance, right? So I said to him, what made you, you know, ask us to dance? And he said, well, he goes, I always ask the prettiest girls in the place to dance. He goes, because everybody thinks that you're either with someone or have someone. And I found that even the top models, nobody bothers with them because they think that they're out of circulation. So as I'm saying here, you don't know. You just don't know. So don't give significance where it's not warranted. Don't put significance on your outcomes. Let's go to Janet in Henderson, Nevada. Hi, Janet. How are you?
Hey, Linda. I'm good. I'm good, thanks. I was wondering if you can look into my situation. I'm running my condo out to this new tenant. She's been late a couple times. I just want to know, she's going to pull it together, or is this somebody I need to get out?
I got to tell you that you'll know by February, okay? If she continues to do this, you can't let her stay, okay? There's something that's happening in January that could actually help her stay stable. So she could get back on track, and then she'll be fine. But if it continues after February, then you have to take action, because then she's deciding not to do what's right.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
It does. I just felt sometimes I feel like I'm taking advantage of, because I've let her, you know, go ahead and like get away with a few things and whatever. But
well, what you have to do now is, you know, so maybe it's not that. Maybe it's because you feel a lack of control and a lack of respect. You know, because that's a big thing. I mean, I'm Italian. I can't get that out of my blood. And the one thing that can really annoy me is lack of respect. Okay. And it's when people take kindness for weakness. And that's what she did. She thought you were, you know, you were being kind, and she thought it was weak, and she went in for the kill. Okay. And you're right about that, but not so much where she doesn't respect you, but she's pushing the envelope. Let's put it that way. Right.
She is, and I told her, you know, you leave me no choice, but I'm probably going to take it at court, and I need someone that can afford this place.
Right. Well,
I'll be nice, but at the same time, serious, like, hey, come on, you need to put your part in.
Well, yeah, and you did the right thing, and you're doing the right thing, but she may pull it together, but you'll know by January. So I don't know if I would do the court thing yet. I think it will naturally dissolve one way or another.
Okay, so just come on a little stronger, more serious, and not just be so, like, friendly. And
absolutely, because you're not her mom, and you're not, you know, you're not a friend. She's your renter. It's nice to be nice, but not when somebody is not doing it correctly for you, okay? You have to balance giving and receiving, and she's taking. She's not balancing that. So you already told her that. Now you have to, you know, enforce that, and she'll get into the groove of it.
Yeah, okay.
But you'll know definitely by February, okay? All right. Well, thanks for calling in. Okay,
bye-bye.
All right. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Linda McKenzie Show, and we were talking about negative words, thoughts, and feelings and how to get over that. But before we do that, we have another caller, and remember, people are important than things. They're more important than things. So let's get to Kelly in Los Angeles. Hey, Kelly, how are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
Good. How can I help you?
I'm just wondering, I saw this person in the store who was looking at me like as if he knew me, and I didn't know. I don't know. I'm supposed to meet someone. Like
real skin? You're very muffled. I can't hardly hear, you know, understand you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are you on a speaker?
Yeah, I've.
Can you please pick up the phone?
Yeah, because I can't understand.
I just did that.
Okay. All right. So, what is it that? What was your question?
Well, I saw somebody in the store, and they were looking at me like they knew me. And I'm just wondering, I'm not really sure what the question is.
Well, I don't think that they did know you. You reminded them of someone, but there might be a good opportunity to say hello and make a new acquaintance if you wanted, if they're still there. I don't know. I don't think it was an interest either. I don't think it was a romantic interest. It was more of, you looked like somebody that they knew. But nice person. So I don't know why, you know, if you would. Right. So if you would go up and just say hi or something, I don't think that.
Yeah, that's too bad. Do you see anything in my future?
Well, I think that, if you go back to that place again, that you'll end up seeing this person again. And that way you can actually pursue that.
Can I ask just one more? I know I shouldn't. My daughter, will I speak or see her anytime soon, or is this going to be a long time?
It's going to be a long time. And the reason is that it's not that she doesn't want to speak with you, although the holidays are coming up, so there may be a thing. It's going to be really more that you don't want that. here's the deal. It's time for you to stand on your own, okay?
Yeah, and I am on my own.
Right. You know? But I'm saying, you know, don't worry about what she's doing or what she's saying.
Because
you know why? She brings you down. And you know what? There's no reason. You're very, very good. And what you're doing is very good. And there's no reason to bring yourself down, okay? And
yeah,
she does. She does. And so right now, it's not so much that she, you're her scapegoat, okay? And so she uses you, to, you know, and you know what? You don't deserve it, and nor is it a good relationship to continue to do that. You need to stand your own ground, which you have, but you have to continue. And so your question is, will she want to see you? Yes. But the question is, really, do you want to see her? And the thing is that you, before you can see her, you have to be very strong in understanding that you are not going to allow her to disrespect you.
Right, exactly, you're right.
Okay, so the trick is, do you really want to see her?
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, you keep going, you're doing the right thing, and things are going to open up for you, especially in January, second week of January. There's some money coming in around the 15th for you. Don't know where, don't know how, but it's nice sum. So, right. And there's everything that you want can happen this year. All right. So, but get rid of the old stuff. Okay. And go fresh. Okay. And understand you.
I think that would be wonderful, the hypnotherapy.
Right. Well, I'm doing hypnotherapy on the first Saturday of every month and guided meditations. So if, you know, you can go and visit my site, lyndamckenzie.net. And, yeah, you can just, we're starting in January. So, you know, feel free to take a look at my site, and that might help quite a bit, actually, because you're right there. You just need that little push over the edge.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. Bye bye. All right. Again, if you'd like a call, to call me, give me a call, 800-555-5453, 310-371-5444. In the meanwhile, how to overcome negative words and thoughts and feelings, and we did the expectations, we did the let go of significance. Here's another one. Let go of your attitude, okay? I'm better than that one. You are not. Don't have an attitude. So, again, let go of expectation. Don't expect anything. Let go of the significance or the importance of that issue, and don't have an attitude. Oh, that one? I'll never learn anything from them. Of course you will. Otherwise, they're not in your life, okay? So instead of looking at things half full, oh, I'll never get anywhere, look at it, or instead of looking at things, boy, that was bad. Instead of looking at things half empty, I'll never get anywhere, look at things half full. Ah, look at where it's coming in, okay? So if you do that, that is one of the ways you can overcome negative words, thoughts, and feelings. Also, maintain gratitude for what you have. You know, whenever, you know, I was, one time, I was in my 30s, I was 32, I was going to aerobics and I was working out, and I saw this 18-year-old girl that was in my class, and I said, oh my God, look at her skin, and her body, and her energy. And, but out of the corner of my eye, I saw this woman that was 50 looking at me, and she was saying, once being psychic, you understand this, look at her skin and her energies and her, you know, and her body. So no matter where you are, you're in exactly the right place. So be grateful for what you have. Okay. Everything changes. Okay. So be grateful. Also try to be joyful. Try and look for the joy in the situation, even if it's to laugh at it. I mean, really. Laugh at it. Best medicine. You know, that's one of the things. If you're feeling down in the dumps or you're feeling low or depressed, a couple of things you can do. Start humming. Or laugh. It immediately puts you into your heart chakra and moves you up that ladder and keeps those lower chakras down where they belong, okay? And uplifts you and makes you positive. So we're going to hum into the break. Take it away, Jay.
HRNradio.com, where positive people and podcasts unite.
I was ready to talk some more, but guess what? Time is gone. Boy, this went fast. Well, you have a great holiday. Don't forget to call in the beginning of January. I'll be glad to do readings for you for the year. I love doing that. Visit my website, LindaMackenzie.net. I've got tons of things going on in January. I'm back with you, and I'm happy to be there. So, you know, look at my site, LindaMackenzie.net. Go to appearances, and you'll see what, where, when, and how. You know, I've enjoyed this hour with you. Until next time. This is Linda McKenzie, wishing you a week of honesty, wellness, and abundance.